There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
This episode is sponsored by Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races in West Virginia. May's featured entertainment includes Jamie Lisso on the 18th and Randy Houser on the 31st. Also enjoy special race day and Mother's Day buffets in the Skyline Terrace. Details and reservations at HollywoodCasinoCharlestown.com. Must be 21 to enter the casino floor and attend a show. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome to the newest episode of Beyond the Fame with Jason Fraley. I'm your host, Jason Fraley, picking the brains of the top filmmakers, musicians, and artists of our time. Comedian George Lopez cracks up the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. this Friday and Saturday nights. He joined me to preview the show as well as reflect on his Grammy-nominated comedy albums and beloved TV sitcoms. Hey, George Lopez. Hey, thanks so much for joining us on WTOP in Washington, D.C.
What's going on, Jason? How you doing, brother?
Good, man. I really, really appreciate you doing this. We got to tell everyone you're coming to the Kennedy Center on Friday, May 10th and Saturday, May 11th. Two chances to see you. Get your tickets now, everybody. And you're calling it the all, and it's really spelled out long. It's the All Right Comedy Tour. Now, is that like all right, as in all right, enough already, or is it all right, like you're excited? How am I supposed to inflect that?
All right, like that.
All right. Okay. So what's in the name?
All right.
Why is it all right?
All right, I started saying all right in a conversation that, you know, if you're having a conversation and someone is, you know, boring or you want to move on, you got to get out of there, I would always say, all right, and then I would leave.
Well, hopefully you don't say that before the end of this interview.
Yeah, no. I did my last HBO special at the Kennedy Center in 2018, and it's a hollowed place. I was there for Eddie Murphy's Mark Twain Award, and yeah, you know, somebody who I admired growing up, Freddie Prinze. The last time he ever performed was at Jimmy Carter's inauguration at the Kennedy Center.
Oh wow, yeah, I remember. I covered that Eddie Murphy one. I remember that. I'm sure that was a lot of fun. And then I guess Kevin Hart was just there last month for the Mark Twain Prize. And
yeah,
Adam Sandler.
That's a great place.
Before, I mean, it's a great spot. What do we have to do to get you a Mark Twain Prize, man? You've been at it a long time. I think you could be in the running soon.
I could be. I don't know, man. We'll have to put it out there. I mean, you know, it seems to be I have to take a look at it. Good question.
I mean, I don't know. I think you're groundbreaking, prolific. It's you checked the boxes. You know, you've been doing it long enough. You got the prolific thing. You got, you know, the stand up. Yeah. You got the TV sitcoms. You're one of the preeminent Latino comics of all time. Do you take pride in pioneering that space?
Yeah. You know, I didn't know if I looked at it as pioneering when I was starting, but also I knew that there wasn't anybody that looked like me that was doing it. So I would say, I'd say pioneering.
Yeah, I'm just trying to build the resume to get this Mark Twain Prize, man.
I love it. Yeah, of course. No, I'll have to ask. I mean, you know, if you have to ask, you can't afford it. What do they say?
Yeah, exactly. Well, if they come see you in the All Right Comedy Tour, maybe that'll add a little more, another line to the resume. Yeah. But what topics do you cover in this one? I hate to, you know, I don't want to burn any punchlines. We just had Dave Attell on yesterday, and it's always so hard. You don't want to burn the punchlines up. But just in general, what topics do you cover?
Well, clearly, I mean, you know, I look older than I think anybody's ever seen me look. And it's funny, you get trapped in TV, you know, if people watch my first show in the mornings, I could be 42 and at night be 62, you know, so there's a lot of age stuff, you know, there's always been mortality, you know, in there. There's, you know, a lot with the kids as always. You know, there might be some drug references, of course, but, you know, it's a fast world, man. You know, I've been trying to have people explain generational trauma to me. I still don't know what it is, but, you know, whenever we were overwhelmed, we went outside. I don't think these kids, they can't go outside.
Yeah, they just bury their faces in, you know, in their phones, which I probably adds more stress to their lives. But
I would just say this. If there was pornography when I was 13 or computers, I'm not sure if I'd be living, much less be a comedian.
Well, I'm glad you made it.
I'd have got lost somewhere.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're here with us and didn't get lost. But yeah, times have changed for sure. And generational trauma is a thing. So I can't wait to hear, you know, what the jokes you're cracking about it.
Well, you know, the thing is, too, is that you can't, you know, I think when there was less kids, I think you could say and generally speak like, hey, you kids don't, you know, you guys kids don't listen. Well, a lot of kids listen, but also you have kids that are on the spectrum. You have kids that, you know, most of them are on medication, and there's just not one, like before they would say, okay, boys over here and girls over here, even that's gone. So it's much more complex in this world. Even if you were a parent just trying to live and raise your kids normally, you're not going to have kids that are normal. You know, I mean, my grandmother saw a kid that was wearing glasses in the supermarket at a Safeway and looked at me and she pointed at him and going and said, he hasn't seen shit and he needs glasses. I said, I don't know. So, you know, there's no one line that can define children anymore. It's not one line that can define marriage. Relationships are different than they've ever been. Social media comes into dating where people can vet somebody by looking at their social media. And also, if you hire somebody, you have to vet somebody. You can't just look at their resume and say, yeah, he seemed like a good guy. I hired him. And then, you know, he stole from us, you know. So everything that when I was growing up that you would just take for granted, you can't take for granted anymore. And that's where I think comedy thrives.
Absolutely. Very well said. Yes, it's a very complex time. Plenty of fodder for the stand-up bit, I'm sure.
I mean, my daughter, when she started driving, every time she went out, she crashed. She hit she was always late. And I said, hey, if you're late, you're going to speed up. Every time I'd get a, you know, I'd get a message. I rear-ended a guy came around the corner. I say, hey, you know, let me put it to you this way. Try to keep as much paint on your car and less of your paint on everybody else's cars. I thought for sure, man, that I was just going to, you know, before they would sue you and all that stuff. You know, that, you know, you're going to lose your house and all this stuff. They're going to sue you. You know, everybody has insurance by law. Even if you can't afford insurance, whatever you can afford, sure, insurance is high on the list.
Yeah, well, you went out for a drive and came back with a new paint job. That's not what you wanted.
No, and you never wanted to rear end anybody. I don't care if it's 73 or 2033.
Yeah, some problems are timeless. Hey, I know. Gosh, you've done so many different, you know, comedy albums and stuff. I guess the three that earned the Grammy nominations were Team Leader in 2003, America's Mexican in 2007, and Tall, Dark, and Chicago.
Yep.
Which of those, if our listeners are hearing this, maybe, and they, you know, they know you from your sitcoms, but let's say maybe they haven't picked up one of your comedy albums, hard to believe, but if they haven't, which of those, or is there one I didn't mention that you're the most proud of, would be like, go download this one if you want to know what I'm about.
I would have to say, you know, the last two were done live, you know, which Team Leader was a CD that got nominated for a Grammy in the early 2000s. America's Mexican, great title, was done in Phoenix. It was live on HBO. That's one where I told Eric Estrada to go F himself. Bunch of material came out of that stuff that I still do. A lot of the kids, a lot of almost, you know, immigration stuff, border stuff. President Bush was in office. Schwarzenegger was proposing a English-only bill. I said, he doesn't speak English, and he's proposing an English-only bill. And then in 2009, Tall, Dark, and Chicano was a lot. It was in San Antonio. That's probably in front of almost 17,000 people live. Well, I don't know if anybody could do that. I don't know if I could do that again. But that one was more a lot of the family stuff, some political stuff. I remember I mentioned a political figure, and that office called me, and the guy got on the phone. Where he goes, I'm with you, man. I'm not against you. Why are you making fun of me? I didn't know my phone's been ringing off the hook. I'm with you, man. He got all pissed off.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Well, I mean, yeah. We've loved your albums and your stand up and the specials and everything over the year. But how about, I do have to ask about the sitcoms, because a lot of people, that's where you became a household name for a lot of people. Maybe they haven't seen you. You know, when you beam right into our living rooms, baby, that's when everybody knows you. But that original run, George Lopez, self titled from 02 to 07 on ABC, I think. Just memories of that first one, because I know you've done. I want to get to your latest one on NBC too. But just memories of that first one real quick.
Well, you know, one of the memories is I saw a bunch of guys, you know, at that point, you know, Ray Romano was on, Kevin was on, Bernie Mac was alive, he was on, Damon Wayans, you know, so I saw a lot of guys succeed, also saw more of them, you know, not succeed, and I finally got my shot. I wanted to make sure that, you know, I was going to last, you know, I was fortunate enough, you know, Drew Carey was very popular at that time, and, you know, the creator of his show was a creator of helped me create, you know, our show. So the fact that the first show was a success, all you need to start laying down your foundation, and then, you know, the specials, they did the talk show, they did a lot of animated movies and was doing stuff like that. But even last year with even Blue Beetle, you know, doing the first Latino DC movie, Blue Beetle is a great movie. And people that seen it love it. So especially now with the sitcom, you know, with my daughter, Mayan, that's the legacy going forward. And, you know, stand up, I'm not sure exactly, you know, I'm doing another special this year. I'm not sure how much stand up I'll do beyond that. But if anybody, I'm not a secret to anybody, but if nobody's ever seen me before, now would be the right time to come and see me, because I'm not sure after this special that I'm going to shoot in September that will air in December, how much stand up I'll do beyond that.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, we never know how much these greats like you, we never know how much longer you keep doing it. So you gotta take every opportunity to go see them. Hey, you mentioned the one with your daughter, the newest one. It's Lopez versus Lopez. I guess it launched on NBC in 2002 and it's still running. Not to be confused with the TV Land one. It was just called Lopez. I guess that was in like the 2016-ish. But
that's right. That was good too.
Yeah, well, yeah, everybody got all these things, I'm sure, are streaming somewhere, right? If they want to go find the old ones. But I want to plug the new one a little more in depth. Isn't it like you go bankrupt and have to move back in with your daughter?
During the pandemic, you know, the guy lost his business with a moving business. He has to move with his daughter, who's estranged from, and, you know, he squats there. It's a little bit like, you know, Sanford and Son, you know, they're the voice of reason, and I'm kind of like this guy that's living with them there, telling them how to live their life when, you know, I don't have a two nickels to rub together. So, you know, and it's funny, but also it has a lot of what would make all the other old sitcoms, you know, that heart and then that feeling. And then, you know, they're serious 1 minute and then everybody's laughing the next. Is, you know, I was very successful with the first one doing a little bit of that. And this one has that, but also this one's very special because, you know, my only daughter that I have is really great in this show. And you get to see the dynamic between her and I, which is fun.
That's awesome. That's really cool that you're getting to do that. And also real quick, in addition to the sitcoms, you did host the late night talk show Lopez Tonight for a couple years there on TBS. What was it like? Well, you were in my chair. You were the one interviewing the people. I mean, you were probably doing it better. But memories, was there any particular guest, you know, that really stood out, or a couple of your favorite interviews from sitting in that desk?
I mean, I got to interview Prince, man. Prince wasn't doing TV. I got to interview Prince. Got to see Prince. I interviewed Janet Jackson, you know. I interviewed, it was some great, you know, Nicolas Cage. I remember Nicolas Cage was very, very, very serious. You know, he comes out the stage and we're walking him, he's uh-huh. You know, he's very serious, like, uh-huh. He goes, and, you know, we have this, we almost had like a wrestling entrance, you know, where the first guest would come out through this gamut of all these people. And he's like, uh-huh. And what's the other entrance over there? He goes, I'll do the other one. And I said, hey, man, no, I think you might want to do this one. He goes, uh-huh. And when he got dressed and I introduced him and he came out, that dude danced and spun. I think he might have tried to do the splits. He got overwhelmed by the amount of energy and the electricity that was showered upon him. And when he sat down and went to commercial, he said, man, you didn't tell me it was going to be like that. I said, I was trying to tell you it was going to be like that. You wanted to come out of this door. He's like, oh, no way.
Like a pro wrestling entrance.
It totally had that pro wrestling feel because, you know, there was a lot of people. I mean, that audience, that TV audience, I think there was 700 people in there. And most audiences had just max at 250.
Yeah. Are you a wrestling fan? Any Lucha Libre, Rey Mysterio? Or, I mean, any?
Yeah, I was, man. I was growing up. I was, you know, luchador, you know, fan and stuff like that. I followed it a little bit, but there's a lot of things to follow, man. So, you know, I'm happy with you know, a little golf, a little comedy, a little sitcom, and enjoying my life. Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Well, hey, coming back to D.C., it's been a while. I've been at Constitution Hall a couple times. But, you know, the Kennedy Center, I'll tell you, the Kennedy Center, you know, the language can be a little bit, you know, back then, not so much now. But I remember I went to the woman who was the in charge of the Kennedy Center after my first taping of the HBO special. We did it live, but the first one, they just do it as, you know, they can have it in the can, and then the next one is live broadcasting. And I said, you know, I hope it doesn't get a little bit too out there for you. And she goes, George, this place was built on free speech, and you definitely are not that far out there. And we're happy that you're here. And I thought, wow, nobody's ever said that to me in a theater or in a nightclub.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a slightly different space. I mean, yes, it is. It is. It has, how do I say this? It loosened up a little bit in recent years, but, it is, it's a really cool, prestigious spot to play. You'd be honored to have you. I guess final seconds. I wanted to wrap it back. You mentioned DC, wrap it back around. Didn't you also play that historic, the We Are One, the Obama inauguration thing?
Yeah.
The Lincoln Memorial. I mean, gosh, if you're listening to this, folks, and you never saw it, find it on YouTube or something. It is ridiculous, all the people. Denzel Washington and Garth Brooks and yourself. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
I think, I was getting ready to rehearse. I looked to my right, and Bruce Springsteen is standing there. He's rehearsing after me. And I'm like, it was really, really wild. And also a wild time in our country, you know, at that time. That whole memorial where Martin Luther King did his thing was just almost like a carbon copy of what was going on there. It's like maybe a million people out there.
It was insane. It was a really special time. And I mean, you knew it was special at the time, but even now looking back, and I'm sure, you know, decades from now, when you even look, that's going to be like a all-timer moment in your life and all of us that watched it.
No question. No question that I got to stand there and do a little bit of a poem and then introduce a performer. And at that time, most of the eyes of the world that are on you. I mean, I testified in the Michael Jackson trial in 2005. That had that kind of same feel where, you know, where you're in the witness box and the whole world is waiting for you to talk.
Yeah. And then there it again, and there again at the reflecting pool at the memorial. I mean, yeah, the whole world, eyes of the world have been on you multiple times. And, but the eyes of DC will be on you at the Kennedy Center Friday, May 10th and Saturday, May 11th. I know we got to let you go. So, hey, thank you so, so much for doing this. I really, really appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for your time. I enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Of course. I've been a fan of yours for a while. Keep it going. We'll get you that Mark Twain prize.
I appreciate it,
we'll
brother.
Keep pushing it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You'll hear about it. All right.
All right, see you.
Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to Beyond the Fame with Jason Fraley. Our theme music is Scott Buckley's Clarion. Remember to give us a 5-star rating if you like what you hear. We'll see you next time.